I'm Ben Lawson, aka Tantra Punk, your guide to sexual liberation, healing, and empowerment. As a certified Tantra counselor and certified permaculture designer, I'm here to help you grow spiritually, sexually, and ecologically. My online and in-person counseling sessions and training programs are priced to fit any budget. I'm looking forward to helping you design an ever more divine life path. Please send me an email to ben@tantrapunk.com and our journey together will begin. Please go to patreon.com/tantrapunk to sign up and join my community there and get some exclusive benefits. Also, I now have a complete set of all of my podcasts and videos available for a free download, and I call it the Tantra Punk Box Set. That's available. Just go to the front of my website, tantrapunk.com, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, dear beloveds. Welcome to Tantra Punk Podcast, episode number 285. Today, I'm being joined by Lucia Gabriella. She is a relationship and intimacy coach, tantric facilitator, and integrative somatic therapist, and she came up recently in some of my researching online and finding kindred spirits and folks doing similar healing work and supporting others in their journeys to live better love lives and to master the arts of love. And I was very impressed by the work that Lucia has been doing, and I asked her if she would bless us with her presence on the podcast, and she obliged. So here we have Lucia as a first-time guest. Please, thank you for joining us, and please take your time letting us know about your whole background leading up to what you're doing now.
Thank you, Ben, so much for reaching out and for creating this space right now for you and I to connect, and also for others to learn more about the work that we do. And also, you know, in the conversation, maybe we learn something for all of us. So as you mentioned before, I am a relationship and intimacy coach. What is that? Is that I help individuals who are struggling in their relationship. Sometimes I have individuals who they go through different toxic relationship, and you know, they marry multiple times, and sometimes they have multiple partners, and they just don't know why they keep attracting the same toxicity in their life, and helping them to break free from the toxic patterns and behaviors and mindsets and concepts and energies and relationship itself. So they can create the relationship that they truly desire in their life. And when we do that, then we can truly experience a greater, deep level of intimacy in our life, because we are not carrying baggage in our relationship. I'm also a tantra facilitator, where I help in individuals where we explore energy and we explore consciousness and awareness, and discovering our true self at a deeper, deeper level by destroying in a chemical way what is not serving us, and walking in that path of fire, that journey of fire, right? I love to work with the alchemy of fire. So going into that path and with the tantric principles. And it's such a beautiful journey of helping individuals to reclaim their power, reclaim their voice, and who they are here right now. Not what they think that they are or who they think they should be, but actually embrace and learn to love themselves at a deeper level, who they are right now. And with that being said, because of the work I do, I would say that I'm really excited about this part of my work, where I am a integrative somatic therapist. And what that mean is, integrative is I'm working with the mind. We're working with the mindset, of course. We're working with the body. We're working with the emotions, the energy, the heart, the soul, the multiple dimensional part of ourselves. And we're working to release those traumas or those stories that are stuck in our body. They are blocking our energies. And when it comes to being our creative self, we find, if people are familiar with the Kundalini system, we find that sometimes we block our root chakra, our sacral, our navel. And that's where mostly our power is, right? Our power is also in our heart. but a power to be in this body of humanity and to be grounded and rooted and moving forward and feeling safe, secure, are so many blockages that we have in those areas. And there's so many emotions that are linked to that. So when we do somatic work, is about releasing the energy that blocking you. So it's about releasing the emotion that are blocking you. So why I'm so passionate about the work I do and why I help individuals and couples in this realm is because at a younger age myself, I was able to explore the different realms of shamanism, energy, and I grew up in Ecuador, that's my home country, that's where I have an accent, and I was able to be exposed to this different aspect of life, different aspect of healing. And at the same time, I was in an integrative, holistic, homeopathic home where that was my medicine, like my doctors were homeopathic and holistic. And one of the fascinating things that happened in my life is that I developed cancer at the age of 15. And my family was like in shock because they would be like, how did this happen? And the reason what happened is I knew it from when we discovered it. The reason what happened is because as a child, at the age of 5, I didn't fit in this planet. I felt like I was, I usually call myself an alien, that I was not from this planet. I was not from this earth. I couldn't understand why people were so violent and the abuse. And the, you know, I grew up in, even though that my family was holistic and spiritual in a sense and Catholic and good food and natural food and homeopathic food, there were the aspect of, I would say irony, it was that it was a very emotional, abusive environment. So it was, everything was looking good, even in the realm of sexuality. My parents were very open and about sexuality, about nudity, about, you know, the men walking naked in the house and like, you know, I see penises since I was little. So it was very interesting that all these great element when plays in my life, but the emotional part was really the one that was missing out. So I was at the age of 5, I developed this sense that I did not want to belong to this planet. So I became suicidal for 10 years. And I used to every day, kind of like when people go to sleep and pray for the good, I used to pray for the bad for me. I used to pray for, I didn't want to live. I wanted God to take me away. I used to go outside and look at the moon and the stars, Orion and all the stars, and be like, where are you guys coming to pick me up? Because I cannot handle this anymore. I cannot be in this planet any longer. Or I didn't want to be in this body any longer because what I was feeling is all this pain and suffering from other people, from my mom, from my family, and overall. So when we discovered that I had cancer, I knew that it was because I was asking that to myself. And the interesting dynamic here is that when it happens, when we discovered through an appendix, and the moment that I experienced the pain of the appendix in the middle of the night, a voice came to me, you know, I heard this voice, and it was saying like, you asked to die, these are the taste of it. And I was like, wow. I was in shock because I was like, oh my gosh, I asked this my whole life. And now it's like you're facing death in a sense, right? Like when you have this like this unknown pain, you know, healthy girl, right? That, you know, that's a sport, competitive sport in school, middle school, high school. Eating healthy. Every time that I go to doctor was like, yeah, we good, like I was so good on camouflaging my emotional pain at a deeper level that even my doctor was not able to read that energy, right? And I was facing that at that point. I was like, oh my god, like this cannot be. Like I have my mom and I have my sister to take care of, because at that age, I became the protector of my mom, my sister, from my dad's abuse. And I used to be the one, the tough girl, right? Like the tough female in the house that would stand up to her dad and put him in his place. And it was just like shocking to me to be like, what's going to happen to my family if I leave this planet? So it was like my wake up call and be like, whoa, where is this going? Like, I want to be here. I can't do this. Like, I have to live. Like, I have a purpose to live now, right? I have to be here to help my sister, my mom, and protect my family. And I come to aspect of healing through that journey. I went into a deeper levels of spiritualism, as we call it. You know, even though that we were in the shamanic realm, and I grew up being exposed to shamanic culture and energy and healing, working with candles and working with energy and working with homeopathic medicine, it still wasn't integrative in me. Like, it still wasn't there for me and my core. So I went into this journey for 2 years of exploring and learning Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And Gnosis is the science of knowledge. So through that journey, I explore Tantra, Kama Sutra, Buddhism, Hinduism. So we study all these religions, which is the language of golden languages, and like meditation and breath work and kundalini energy, name it. So it was such a beautiful healing process for me, because I didn't go through chemo, radiation, or any of the protocols that they want me to go to. I was very blessed to be in a country where at the age of 15, 16, I was able to tell the doctor, the regular doctor, that they recommended surgery to take half of my intestine, part of my liver, my gallbladder, one of my kidneys. They wanted to remove all that and make me live for the rest of my life in a feeding tube. I would not be alive by now if I did that, because the probability of being alive when you're in a feeding tube is not too long. You always have complications and you always have struggles. And so I was, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go through the path that I've been doing, like holistic medicine. I know why I developed this, and I am going to heal it. That's what I said to the doctor. I know why I did it. I know what is going on, and I am going to heal it. The doctor looked at me, the traditional doctor, looked at me like somebody possessed me. And my mom was like, yeah, we're going to go to a doctor and wait for him to, you know, to whatever his recommendation is, holistic, homeopathic, energetic, whatever we got to do, But I knew at that moment that there were my emotions that needed to change, that I needed to change my perspective of life, that I must come to an agreement with my body to be in harmony within myself and to live in integrity with feeling and to being able to be myself and to love myself, to love nature, to love why I'm here, to have a purpose in life, to have a purpose to be in this planet. It wasn't like anymore about looking at the star and waiting for my alien friend to come over and pick me up and then looking at purpose after that. But it was about, I'm here on earth for a purpose, and I'm here to create something amazing, and I'm going to get there. So that would say that was the first awakening catalyst story in my life. And one of the things that I would like to share with people is that we can study everything. We can study all these books. We can read 1,000 books in a week. We can watch all these videos. We can listen even all these podcasts and everything. Information is great. It's great, but it's not all of it. And what I'm always excited to share with people, that it's important for us to take what you're learning here right now in this conversation and look for the message that it resonates to you and integrated that in your life. The reason why mostly all my therapists are called integrative is because not just addressing the aspect of all aspect of ourselves, but because it takes time for us to really, truly integrate what we have learned, what we have experienced, what we have discovered about ourselves. It takes time for it to really make it our own and really be the owner of our life and own the knowledge that we have been exposed to. So what happened is that I moved to the U.S. So I had all this knowledge about relationship, intimacy, and all that stuff. And I moved to the U.S. and I was young. And I met my ex-husband. And it was a really fascinating, another awakening call, because I discovered myself to go into my insecure self of being loved. Like, I wanted to be loved so bad. By this person, I wanted to be chosen. I wanted to be seen by this person. I got infatuated. I was seeing this person as my prince coming into on the white horse, right, to rescue me of something, or even myself, I guess, because I was new in the country. I didn't speak English that well. So I felt like my husband was like the prince on the white horse, and I got truly infatuated that I used my own knowledge about energy and sensual rituals and magic rituals and, you know, law attraction rituals and candles and crystals to influence the energy to the, you know, and act moon and do moon rituals to make this person love me and choose me and want me and sending, you know, a gift and messages. And it happened to be that I ended up with this person, and then I ended up having a child and ended up getting married. And through the process of like 10 years that we were together, I would say that, 7 years, 10 years would be after when we got divorced. I was in one of the most toxic relationships of my life. I thought that when I was younger, so I would never marry or be with somebody like my father. And it kind of happened to be that by not being in integrity with myself and integrating all the knowledge and the wisdom that I had and actually learning about boundaries and learning about some aspect of human consciousness, awareness, and psyche, I kind of pretty much attracted someone who it was very nice on the surface. He will sell you everything, and at a deeper level, he has these anger issues, these shadows. And we all have our shadows and our darkness. That's one of the biggest work I do, working with our shadows and our darkness and recognizing what we're attracting, so we can integrate our shadows to be able to heal what needs to be healed. And I pretty much, the whole story is that I was really in a very toxic, abusive relationship, even after separation, to going through the process of divorce, custody of my child, not custody, but pretty much with domestic violence and the custody too. And I tell people, like, yes, I was so infatuated, I even used my own power of influence and rituals and white magic and this and that to bring somebody in my life, and it happened to be that I was actually doing dark magic against me myself. So the karma got back to me really, really bad. And I learned so much about it, because I learned that it's not just the toxicity that we create within ourselves, but also the toxicity that we allow other people to vomit on us when they have their own issues and their own struggles on himself. So I have been working for the past, I would say, 35 years of my life. I'm going to turn 40 this year. So I would say that the level of awareness that I have about emotions and energy and relationship and like how we relate and what are we creating, like taking full responsibility for everything, not just embracing my victim when it's needed to, but also learning and allowing myself to get out of the victimhood and step into my empowered self to be in integrity, would be responsible and accountable for my own actions and move forward and create the life that I truly desire in my life. So right now I'm in a beautiful relationship. I would say all relationship and partnership has some kind of like up and downs. I'm very blessed to have a partner that that is aware and conscious, and like he has been like a big rock in my life right now for the past 5 years, and also for my, you know, to explore things about myself and my shadows, and like holding space, like a person who has learned with me together. We have learned to hold space for each other in their relationship, hold space for our struggles, hold space for our shadows, our darkness, our weakness, or, you know, our strength, and like being there for each other and hold each other accountable if we fuck it up. So, and coming from a place of like love and like seeing the other person as the amazing, incredible being that they are already. And that's where I am right now. So everything I create, it's based pretty much on what I have gone through in my own life. So I do share and teach and coach from what I have learned in my own life. That's pretty much a good 90% of my work, I would say. And the other percentage is the things and the tools and practices that I learned from other amazing mentors in my life. And yeah, so that's my story of where I'm coming from. And at this point, I am in this beautiful space, even though that we have the situation with COVID-19. And I'm in a beautiful space now where I'm grateful that I have the tools to hold space for my emotions and my feelings and allow myself to, you know, get upset when I need to get upset. Get frustrated when I need to get frustrated. I have tool for going from one energetic field to the next one and not suppress anything in my body, because one of the biggest issues that we have in our society, and starting with ourselves, is that we suppress everything and we numb ourselves and we utilize other things like alcohol, drugs, even in other realms. We can go very extreme using like medicinal plants to camouflage and numb and suppress our emotions and our energies, because we may not be prepared to face what might be faced. So this is who I am. And I'm here to answer any question that you may have, because a conversation can be juicy.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. You just covered so much material there. And I feel like that was that's very archetypal for what humanity's been going through for a while. And, you know, people have different explanations for why things have gotten into this situation. I think, Where do you feel the word patriarchy or the sort of critique of the toxic masculine that I'd be interested to hear a bit about. I mean, you have such a sophisticated analysis of what all these this sort of paradox of all these blessings you had, but also these cursings, and how just the slight imbalance can take hold and really skew your path. But then also paradoxically, ironically, the antidote is in the poison, so to speak, so that you became a wounded healer with the insight, personal insight, to be able to really move people with your story and help them move beyond. And I'm just wondering if you feel like there is in your own words, just like a sort of a meta narrative, if you will, for the story of how this world really became as toxic as it is, you know, from the environment to the way that businesses operate and the way that governments and businesses collude and all of those sort of macro political and economic forces. Is that part of your traditional story or part of, I think there's like a tantric story of the goddess and Shiva Shakti and the sort of the demons in Tantra, you know, like there's all these demons that come out and the goddesses have to fight them with their powers. And it's very symbolic of just, this imbalance of those energies. So yeah. Any thoughts you want to go into about just what your how you feel about this? How do we get here to this point of hell on earth, right?
Yes, actually, I would say that we are actually living, for me, hell is the most amazing place to purge what is not actually us. So I see hell as the place where we can really learn so much about ourselves. And the blessing in there is that we really learn to know what are we really made of. And like, what are we are not made of? So when it comes to working with the masculine and the feminine, the patriarchy and matriarchy, I have two angles on that. The first one is more of the earth level, because we have lived in an aspect of separation and division. We have polarized so many things, and when we come from a place of polarization and separation and division and seeing somebody that it does not look like us, more responsible things that we all are responsible for, it can, you know, that's where I see like there's a lot of conditioning and a lot of programming happening in humanity when it comes to the masculine, the feminine, male, female, women, men, patriarchy, matriarchy. We put ourselves in boxes. And when we put ourselves in boxes, we can't really see the greater picture. So I address aspect of not much of the masculine and feminine, because I come from a more, I would say, like I invite myself to see it from a more cosmic, universal perspective, where we give ourselves permission to feel energy and to feel the space and to feel the feels and the vibration as they are, without giving them any kind of like definition or meaning or title. I have run like over close to 300 live events. And at the beginning of running tantric event, I was working with the aspect of masculine and feminine, because many books and many backgrounds, they tell us, you know, the masculine is this way, the feminine is this way. You know, the masculine is this, and this. And the females are, you know, crazy, like chaotic, and the masculine are more grounded. And what it happened is that when we go from that perspective, we are already conditioning everyone to act in a certain way. We're already putting people in boxes, even the spirit in box. And the spirit itself cannot be contained in a box. And I did experiment where I will guide all these amazing people in my events and usually what in many festivals. And what we do, we do a clearing statement. And this clearing statement is about destroying and creating all the beliefs, all everything that we have learned, or read, or we have knowledge about masculine, feminine, female, male, patriarchy, matriarchy. So totally clear the energetic feel in our space to feel without condition, without subscriptions. And it was very fascinating that when we say, okay, we invite you to tap into your masculine, and then we switch to the feminine. And it was really fascinating, because it was about honoring both aspects of self. And it was really fascinating when the feedback came back from people. Everything that people learn about the masculine, when they got into the essence of being the space of just feeling the energy, it was totally the opposite of what the book said. Masculine was like, had this energy that many times would be like recognized as the feminine. And many times the energy of the feminine, you know, the concept of the feminine, people will feel like, wow, I'm feeling this energy, and they're supposed to be energies of the masculine. So the more we went and did this, and even work with myself, I came to have this feeling in myself, in my own body, about recognizing my masculine, my feminine within myself. And it was pretty much like the energies within myself would flow, and they kind of were same and equal. And the one thing that I got an insight on one of my meditation practices was that it was just a degree of difference. And the degree of difference was related to the mind. The mind was the one that created a degree of difference in separation between the energies and put it on the boxes. So it was just really fascinating for me to explore that for years. And then I personally work, I honor the concept of masculine and feminine. And I honor, it's a great beginning to start tapping into your energy. But it's not all it is, right? There's so much more than that. And what I do in my work is I invite individuals to come more to the aspect of source, you know, God of source, come out of that even separation within divinity itself as a God, goddess, and come higher than that and see it as an aspect of energy. And it is really fascinating helping individuals just to start recognizing the energies and start leading the life based on what they recognize the energies. So one of the greatest things that I experienced in my life, in my personal relationship and my clients, is that there's less judgment, less tension, less disagreement with our partners. There's more acceptance, the more compassion, because we're talking about energy and we're not saying, okay, you the man, you're supposed to be running the fucking masculine. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to do that. And I'm expecting you to show up and fold the container and da-da-da-da-da. Because I'm not seeing my partner with a title on a box and give him all this list of what he's supposed to be, I'm seeing my partner as a free being that runs energy, is a master of his energetic field. So there will be time that my partner will be able to hold space in container. So instead of me communicating to my partner and say, I need you to be more of the man, more of the masculine for me right now, I will actually go and say, I need more support in a sense of holding container for me right now. Because I hold big containers. As a facilitator, I hold huge containers. Working with trauma, I must hold a very high containers, a strong containers. So I talk about the aspect of energy and request my partner to become in alignment with the energies versus what they're supposed to do because of the title. So now that's working on a very broader way of relating to somebody. I do still address the aspect of conditioning about being a man and a woman, because unfortunately for thousands of years, we had the patriarchy and we had the matriarchy, which means men are the one that rule, women are the one that rule, or things like that. And we see the dynamic, and it's pretty much all about the conflict of power. And because we have been programmed for thousands of years, you know, especially now we're coming out of like what we call like getting out of the programming of, because of us, of a difference in our gender, we are going to be controlled in a specific way. We come into this era of, you know, recognizing who we are and more of the as a being, more than a gender or sexual being, but more of like a very, as a being itself. As that, like, I have a lot of resonance with when we talk about, you know, cosmic universal energies. And when you tap into this energy, there's no gender feelings in there, because they're like, there's a level of purity that there's no polarization. And when we come to energetic realms here on Earth, you know, it's really important for us to understand that, yes, we run into all these energy, these universal energy that they're for all of us, and we all have them. And it's up to us which muscle we build. But I understand the psychological consequences of the programming about who's in power, who's in control, and who's going to dominate what. I would say more of, if I would like to remove the matriarchy and the patriarchy and allow us to see it from a different point of view, I would say more is has been domineering times. Like, who feels that is lacking power, that desires to control a population or society versus on their own struggles? You know, like, because I'm struggling and I don't know my own power, I'm going to be so domineering and toxic, and I'm going to control the one that is weaker. Or I'm going to make sure that the one that they are strong, I'm going to make them weaker because of my own weak insecurity, and I need to fulfill my own need of feeling important, significant, and having, you know, that I just, because I am so disconnected with myself. So for me, what we're seeing in society right now, I would say that it's a blessing in disguise, that what we're going through is an opportunity for us to see how much are we really disconnected from ourselves.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think you framed it very eloquently and elegantly in terms of transcending that gender binary, and that which kind of pits people against each other, makes people defensive. And I like that narrative. I've also heard it be said, like, there were partnership societies, and then now there've become dominator societies that have dominated now for thousands of years. Most of the partnership societies that evolved, where there was more of a balance. And that study of, for me, the study of, you could call them first peoples or Paleolithic peoples or hunter-gatherers even. I mean, there's different ways to look at how the society societies have evolved to become skewed with those domineering patterns. And when I discovered Tantra, I think one of the reasons why it really worked for me compared to a lot of the different spiritual paths that were more about austerity, I like the fact that Tantra is about passion and pleasure, mm-hmm. and the full-bodied experience. And also what connected with me in my past in anthropology, and my sort of sensibility towards wanting to return to a balance of power, was this, that notion that you probably seen or described, or have your own words to describe. I'd love to get your take on it, but this idea that the sort of simplest way I could ever explain Tantra is that there are these sort of dualistic dancing energies, and they can also be warring energies within ourselves and the fractal, you know, piece of ourselves, the inner marriage and inner alchemy of those energies. You could, if you want to call them Shiva Shakti, you know, but then that, mm-hmm. the practice of the Tantra, the Kundalini rising and all of that, is actually to create this triangle, this triangle diagram, basically, where the two poles on the base of that triangle, they meet at the apex, at the center and the top of that triangle, and they become one, transcending the gender binary and merging into oneness with all that is, with the Godhead, with the Goddess, and that that's the sort of that diagonal path to meet in the middle and to become equal and whole and reunited. And that to me is like really, a really, empowering kind of narrative for transcending these gender binaries and the so-called war of the sexes. Do you feel you want, can you talk about just sort of your, I love that you also said the path of fire. I think I'm going to use that as the title of this episode, because that's the first time I've heard that. And it's definitely the, it's one of the most beautiful ways that I can think of what it means to do that inner work and to challenge yourself and your people in your life and your society to do that shadow work. So yeah, I'd love to hear just kind of more about, from your perspective, what kind of paths of Tantra have you explored, and do you feel also that promise of it is that we can transcend all that duality and find that unity consciousness?
Yes, thank you for the question. So fire is one of my favorite element, and I feel like even my partner sometimes argue with me, you know, he really wants to argue with me that he's like, there's other paths for alchemy. And I'm like, you know, like, I would say that Tantra itself is an alchemical path of radical transformation to the individual and the self, where, yes, we're going to explore that amazing awakening, opening of our senses, of our energy, of our sensuality, of our creativity, of our sexuality, of our pleasure. But that doesn't come just because they just give it to you. Like, that comes because we have to earn it. Right? In the aspect of alchemy transformation, we must earn it. And that's where the element of fire is, because when you kind of look at the elements, you know, water, what it does when destroy, it destroy and leaves stuff behind. Wind, this air, what happened when it destroyed? You know, like, have you have hurricane, a tornado, yeah. It would just destroy it. And we leave you what? Debris behind. So it leaves chaos behind. When you have an earthquake, you know, using earth, what it happens? You leave chaos behind. So one of the powerful elements that does not leave chaos behind and actually ashes is fire. Because if you decide to destroy something that is not serving, that the fire will destroy it. Like, so even when we go to biblical times and we look at the Bible, it's like we talk like the humans, right? Ourselves, we were created from where? From ashes. And we go back to ashes, right? So even when, like, we were created from the dust and we go back to dust, we are created from powder, right? Like, so we are created from that and we go back to it. So it's like this beautiful cycle of that for us to transform, we must destroy with so much purity that fire can offer to us. So that's what I feel when it comes to the path of Tantra, is this path of fire and alchemy and transformation and evolution. And what we must destroy is everything that we know, everything that we think we are, everything that we are at some point, to even allow ourselves to be reborn into another aspect of ourselves. So, if that makes sense?
Yes, I love that. And any time that I think it's being so honest and so, you know, a lot of. I guess a lot of people who are maybe in the new age and they want to sell some path, you know, they're trying to peddle this path. It's usually they're not they're not forthright about the challenge of it and the conflict and the struggle and the unpleasantness mm-hmm. of it, you know. But with Tantra, I appreciate the authenticity, and for the most part, the people who are really I think true and best at their craft are the ones who actually figure out how to do the marketing for people to want to do this to want to clean up what they've been shoving under the carpet, so to speak, you know, for them to have an incentive and to know that, like, Yeah, if you can combust all of that toxic material, you can really have this greater love, the greater warmth, and it's all. And I think like the idea of composting is a good from gardening. You know, the organic gardening, the idea of composting, mm-hmm. and turning your mind weeds into fertile soil for what you want to have there. The kind of attitudes and emotions and thought forms. And so, you know, people just running each other ragged in toxic relationships, that's a lot of energy, and that energy is ultimately neutral. It could be used for great magic and great mm-hmm. design and creativity. So just, you know, optimizing that, but then to do that, it's not all like bliss bunnies, as they say. You know, it's not all, my friend said it, I think, best once. You know, we were having this exact same conversation. He's like, yeah, people just want the yums, you know, like mm-hmm. Y-U-M-S. And so, you know, you won't appreciate them unless you have the yucks too. So I think you've done a great job to, yeah, explain that.
One of the things that I love to invite people to recognize is that when we are in this path of the path of Tantra, we're also in the path of destruction. And when we are in this path of destruction, we must embrace a destroyer. And in some of my culture, there would be Kali, for example, right? Like the destroyer. Yeah. For us to be able to even plant a seed, we must nurture the soil, but also we must destroy what it was behind that. Yeah. Because if you had weed on that soil, and you have all the things that does not work, and you have like rock and things, like you have to like repair it. And you, at one point, that's called destruction. Your destruction, destroying what was there to be able to prepare for what is coming. So we have to embrace the dark part of ourselves as destroyers, and the shadow part of ourselves, and really come to the aspect of integration. When we talk about Tantra, right? Like we talk about Shiva and Shakti, masculine, feminine, yin and yang. And it's all this aspect of like fusing, right? And coming into oneness and coming into these cosmic, universal unity that is so authentic and feels so like you are so connected with everything, with source. You are beyond the matrix. You are beyond this cosmos. You can actually feel the heartbeat of another planet where you are connected. You can feel the heartbeat of Orion. You can feel the heartbeat of another cosmos. Like when you are connected at that realm, like it is about the integration, like a diffusion of it, like coming to a peace. The same aspect must happen when it comes to a dark and a light, like when it comes to who we are and the beautiful insights that we have, but also learning to love ourselves in our darkness and like in like the shadow, you know, and learning to appreciate the power of the shadow and the power of the light, and coming into that cosmic unity, we will be able to, you know, be in that whole union that we all like thrive to experience, right? So this is not about being a pleasure seeker. When it comes to Tantra, it's about actually being an alchemical seeker, alchemist. It's about being a being of integrative evolution, put it this way. This is not about me just finding your G-spot and give you an orgasm and teach you how to do sex magic. Yeah, we can do that. But an awareness is that I can teach you how to have great sex and, you know, all the Kama Sutra poses, how to touch the body and how to do this and how to do that and all the how-to, right? Like all the techniques that you want. But what if when you are learning all these how-tos, you're really not truly connecting and creating an energetic space for your partner to surrender into the experience?
That is so beautiful. Yeah. And I feel like this has been a great introduction. I mean, time flew, and I've just been riveted with everything you said. I feel like we have a lot more more to explore in future episodes.
So you can find me at luciagabriela.com. is L-U-C-I-A Gabriela, G-A-B-R-I-E-L-A.com. You can find there my blog And also my, you know, I love to share a lot of great information, and I have webinars that you can look out about how to track love after toxic relationship. And also I'm coming up online classes around how to create boundaries, how to track love after toxic relationship, also how to manage and go from trigger to bliss, when you feel trigger and you don't know what to do, how to go from that experience to feeling more blissful. And also I'm creating my Central Alchemist training program for individuals who desire to be more of those alchemists in learning to embody sensuality and being an alchemist in their life. And we work with different aspects of the archetype and also with the shadows. And it's a really powerful, deep journey. So if you decide to really go deeper and go to the core of what is really holding you back and what is stopping you from being who you are, I invite you to look at my website, luciagabriela.com. Check it out. I have an intake form that you can fill out, and then we can have a discovery call. It's complimentary. And then I can see how I can help you. So that invitation is out there.
Beautiful. Oh, Lucia, thank you so much. This has been a really a blessed way for me to start my day, and I'm glad that we've been able to connect, and definitely wishing you all the best to you and yours moving forward and through this time of crisis. This is a time, hopefully, where people will really take this time of introspection to start to do that work and reach out also to the folks like you doing this great work. So thank you so much again. We'll call it a day and we'll be in touch very soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Tantra Punk podcast. Please go to www.tantrapunk.com and click on the donate button to help support the show. In addition to sustaining and improving the podcast, your donations will help establish permaculture goddess temples that provide ecological employment for single mothers. Please subscribe and share your favorite episodes. If you have questions or comments, feel free to leave a voicemail at 818-275-1593 or email ben@tantrapunk.com. Namaste.